Dave for breakfast. 50 years of Port Hedland.
On the History of Hedland podcast series, it's been a while since we've had an episode. We've been trying very hard to get some more stories to talk about. We've moved away from South Hedland now, and it's basically the history of Hedland. And I've gone back to the font of all knowledge, not quite. It's the Hedland Historical Society have got a massive amount of information about plenty of things around town. Now, the pearling industry on the northwest coast of Western Australia was absolutely phenomenally big in the 18th century, into the 19th century, not so much now in the 20th century, although up in Broome there is still a commercial pearling farm which does not so much naturals anymore, but they certainly cultured pearls. But the pearling industry across the northwest coast was absolutely phenomenal. In fact, it's probably noticeable way back when the buccaneer William Dampier was on our northwest coast and seeing these shiny things. Julie Arif joins me in the studio from the Hedland Historical Society. It can be traced back to the buccaneer, can't it? William Dampier?
Yeah, it certainly can be. So, William Dampier was going up and down the coast, and, you know, we all know him after the town of Dampier has been named after him. But he first noticed the pearl oyster way back in 1699.
Wow.
And noticed that, you know, there were lots of them. But nothing was done for many, many years, like, you know, centuries, I mean, 1860s, before they really decided to start harvesting the pearls and doing that sort of stuff, yeah.
So as I said, across the northwest coast, I mean, we know that Broome is still working with the Willie Creek farm there. Cossack was massive back in the day with their sheltered bay for the pearling industry. It was even in Port Hedland. I mean, we had a natural harbour that Peter Hedland finally found, but there was a pearling industry here in Hedland as well.
Yeah, there was. So, you know, you've named some of those places, but it extended as far south as Shark Bay, the pearling industry. And 80 Mile Beach even. And when the pastoral industry was first started up here in Port Hedland, in the Pilbara and everything like that, and it was all sheep farming then, and they were building their flocks and building their stations and everything like that, the station folk would do what's called dry pearling. So as it got really low tides, they would literally walk out on the reef and pick up the pearls and pearl shell, or the pearl shells containing the pearls. Mm. Because pearl shell was just as valuable,
absolutely,
as the pearls themselves.
Yeah, and so mother of pearl, the nacre, is just back in the day, and even now it's still sought after by jewellers because it's shiny.
Exactly, that's right. Well, it's what glitter is made from,
exactly.
Is mother of pearl. But buttons were the main thing,
yes,
that mother of pearl was used for back then, was buttons. So they didn't waste any of the shell. So the pastoralists would literally gather them up, and that would subsidise their fledgling industry as they were getting established.
So who did the actual pearling? I can imagine it would have been the way that colonial Australia and Western Australia would have been going. It would have been a Eurasian or a European company as running it, but who was actually doing the pearling? Who was diving for it?
So it's a bit of a sad history here. The Europeans, the white Australians, as we could call them now, actually, they almost enslaved the Aboriginal people, the natives, and in particular the women, dive and collect the pearls.
But they also used the menfolk on the stations as stockhands.
Yes, they did.
But the women weren't.
Right.
So the women, well, let's put them in the water.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, so, and, you know, like the menfolk on the station, the women were poorly treated, and they led to, you know, retaliations on occasions, and Captain Peter Hedland was actually killed by the Aboriginal people, you know, because they had, you know, captured the Aboriginal people and everything as well. But the women were poorly treated, and so eventually our state parliament moved an act where they prohibited employing women in this industry. And so that led...
Well, it might have been a high attrition rate too. I can't imagine it would be a
absolutely
safe environment in those days.
Yeah, that's right. It probably wouldn't have been. Free diving, bends, of that sort of stuff like that. Yeah, so... and, you know, the sad thing is Aboriginal people weren't treated as people. They were a commodity almost, you know. Well,
at some point, and I've looked at history across the Northwest as I've moved around, but Broome, Port Hedland and Cossack in particular all have their town cemeteries, but they have an extended version for the Asians and the Japanese. So when did they get involved?
So so that was when they moved the Act to Parliament, mm-hmm. and they needed to employ other people. And we all know from the history of Broome and Cossack that the Japanese were already very, very good at diving and everything like that. So brought the Japanese over to Port Hedland, but also employed the Kopangas, the Malays, as indentured divers as well. And they came to Port Hedland as well. Some of them did pass away, and that's how come we've got that Asian part of the cemetery in Port Hedland.
There must have been moved to change at some point. I mean, we've got the Asian and the Japanese cemetery, part of the Pioneer Cemetery in Port Hedland, but there's what we now know in Hedland as the bungalow, which is trading now as small business, private enterprise. That was... Wasn't that Purling House back in the day?
Yes, it was. Yeah, so we had one purling business or one purling owner here in Port Hedland. So William Theodore Banger. So he ran the Western Pearl Company out of the bungalow, as it's now known. And so, you know, it was previously known as Banger's House. So not Banger. I know people call it Banger. It's Banger. Rhymes with Ranger.
So what was this? He was obviously a European with a name like William Theodore. He would be very much probably British. But was he a knockabout lad or was he very upmarket?
See, he was very upmarket. So I've never seen a photo of him, but you know, there's a description of him as a dapper fellow in spotless whites, a chirrup between his teeth, his white mustachios, and intense blue eyes. And I can imagine he probably was quite proper in the way he spoke.
I'm
as
sure
well.
He would have.
Yes.
Dapper fellow in spotless whites. You know, you wouldn't be wearing spotless whites up in that part of the town nowadays. Now
no,
that there's stockpiles
not.
Of minerals everywhere.
But I think he was, in addition to being, you know, dapper, I think he might have been a bit of a person. You know, as well, there was another story of him, you know, just carelessly tossing pearls across the table and things like that as well. So, yeah, so...
Look, have a beer. Here's a pearl.
I know. You know, if ever you got to crawl under Banger's house, you never know what you might find, because I believe there were the odd pearls that slipped through the floorboards and things like that as well.
Oh, fair enough. Okay, so William Theodore Banger, so it was running Western Pearl Company. So how long did that run for? I mean, obviously we haven't had a pearling industry per se in Hedland for an awful long time.
Oh, I think there might still be one out there right now,
Yeah.
So from what I believe, there is still one out there, yeah. So although, you know, secret grounds and things like that for fear of being plundered. Yeah, so, yeah. But I'm not too sure how long Banger ran his business for. I haven't got, you know, the start date or end date or what forced his closure or not. But, you know, he was a fairly astute person. He didn't like competition or anything like that. And from time to time, he would send his bosun out with a dud pearl to find out who was doing the snide buying around. One of the favourite haunts of the snide buyers was the local barber shop. And Bert Clark, the harbour master, had said, old Banger never did catch up with the buyer. But the thing was that Banger, before he sent this dud pearl out, he would tell the police. And, you know, obviously the police were in on it and they were buying the pearls themselves. And, you know, according to Bert, everybody made a few bob out of the snide buying in those days, and the barber had a couple of trips to England each year on the
yeah, so lucrative work, this cutting of hair.
And, it's quite interesting.
Right. The pearling industry and, by extension, how we got the Pioneer Cemetery graves dedicated to the Asian population from the 1800s into the 1900s, all the way along the coast. Julie, thanks for joining us.
I will touch base
with the Headland Historical Society about some more things we can talk about now that the focus is no longer on South Headland.
Yes, yeah. They're happy to chat on lots and lots of things, history.